Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, and let's read verses 5 to 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. We just looked at verses 1 to 4 for our Bible study. And because these are continuing verses, this is a continuation of what we just looked at. I am excited to bring this message to you. I really am. The reason is because we're about to look at some things and some places in the Scripture that I believe truly open up what we just read. I believe they sincerely open up what we just read. And I want you to see this. This is just such a blessing. Verse 5 says, this then is the message. This then is the message. That does not say, this then is a message. Didn't say a message. It says the message. What that means is, there's only one. There is only one. Well, Gabe, don't you think that's kind of narrow-minded? No. That's God's Word. That's God's Word. There's only one. Paul told the Galatians, there is not another gospel. There's not another gospel. There is only one. There's only one. There's only one message to preach. I wish every man on this earth preached this one message. I do. There's only one message to preach. And the reason is because there's only one message from God. Think about that. Just think about that. There's only one message from God. In the world that we live in today, it appears that there are thousands of different messages out there. Thousands of different men with different views and different doctrines preaching thousands of different messages. This is this man's message, and that is that man's message. His view on things, her view on things. It appears that there are thousands of different messages out there, but here's the truth. There are not. There are not. Men may be delivering what they refer to as sermons, preparing outlines, giving speeches, but they're not declaring God's message. That's the problem. They're not declaring God's message. And anything contrary to the message that God has given is not the message. If it is contrary to the message, it's not the message. There's one message from God. Therefore, there's only one message to preach. And John said, the Apostle John said, the one whom the Lord loved, he said, this is it. This right here is it. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. He said, we did not make this up on our own. This is not from any man's private interpretation. This is not our opinion. This is not our opinion. Every man who stands in a pulpit to speak on God's behalf needs to get rid of his opinion. If we want to know the difference in true preachers of the message and false preachers who have no message at all, it's this. True preachers declare God's message. False preachers declare their own. They declare their opinion on God's message. I know God said this, but I think what he really meant was. Man's opinion is always wrong. It's always wrong. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than the heavens. Our ways are lower than hell. And the moment we start interjecting our ways and our opinions on the matter, we're wrong. We're wrong. If I start doing that, I'm wrong. And we're declaring the exact opposite of his message. If we declare our message, we will be declaring the exact opposite of God's message. If we are going to declare the message, we're going to have to declare the Word of God alone. Only what God has said. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. We're just repeating it unto you. We're just saying this is what he said. And here it is. This is the message. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. That's the message from God. God is light. Now, what does that mean? God is light. What does that mean? Really, what does that mean? Well, where does light come from? It comes from the sun. S-U-N. And if we'll go ahead and put our heavenly imagination on here, we'll understand the point of this whole message. It comes from the sun. It comes from the sun. But to continue the outline, to bring it down in terms that we live in here, in this world here. I know with the invention of electricity came light bulbs and things like that. But originally, where did light come from? It came from fire. All right? The sun is a big ball of fire. The candle that people used to see with by night was a little flame of fire. Fire is a consuming substance. Another way to say that is, light is a consuming fire. God is light. This is the message. God is light. And light is a consuming fire. This is the message that every soul on this earth needs to hear. I'm being very serious. This is the message. We're all about to go meet light. We are all about to go meet and stand before a consuming fire. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That means ruler. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16 says, who only hath immortality, watch this, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He said the King of kings and Lord of lords only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. No man can. Our Lord said, no man can come to me. Right here he said, no man hath seen nor even can see. The Lord told Moses in Exodus 33, and this is what he said. Think about this. He said, no man can see me and live. No man can see me and live. Why? It's because he's holy. It's because he's holy. I thought it was very appropriate that we opened with holy, holy, holy. God is holy. People don't know what that means. They say, oh, that sounds good. Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. God is holy. God is holy. What that means is God is just. He is the just judge of the earth. And therefore he must punish sin. And people, you know, naturally think, well, I better do the best I can because I don't want to be punished. We're going to be. One of two ways. Inside of Christ or outside of Christ. No man's going unpunished. No woman's going unpunished. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. He is the judge of the earth that must punish sin. And that's all that man is. Here I am standing before you from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot in the eyes of God Almighty and in the eyes of myself. I'm nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Sin. Sin. What do you think of yourself? Sin. What do you think of God? Holy. What do you think that means? God must punish me. That's what it means. Revelation 22 says, he is the bright star. That means the high noon sun that beats down on the earth and scorches and burns and exposes. That's what light does. It exposes. That's what light does. What's hidden in darkness, as soon as the light comes on, it's exposed. And that's what man is before God. Exposed in all of his sins. He sees it all. He sees it all. Exposed in all of his sin before the just and holy judge of the earth who must serve judgment righteously. Must. He must serve to every man and woman the punishment that is rightly owed for his sin. He must. This is the message. Let the message go out. He must. He must. Why? Because God is light. That's why. Somebody says, I've never heard anything like this. I never heard a message like this before. Welcome to the message. This is the message. this is the message. God said, this is the message. We've heard this from Him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what Hebrews 10:31 says. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Because God is light. God is light. God is pure. God is holy. God is just. God is right. John said, and in Him is no darkness at all. There is no sin in Him. No wavering from His holiness or His justice. There's no compromise in Him. That's what people think they're going to do with God. Well, let's make a compromise. There's no compromise with Him. There's no other way of life and existence with Him other than the way of holy justice. It has to be according to holy justice. If we are going to dwell with God, then we're going to have to dwell in holy justice. And here's the message for us today. If we're going to dwell in holy justice, we're going to have to dwell in the light. We're going to have to dwell in the light. Verse 5, go with me back to 1 John 1. Verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what does that mean? How can we do that? Let's let the light of the Word expose the truth and the gospel to us. All right, turn with me to a few places. First one is John chapter 3. This is the truth of God, the truth of man, and the truth of salvation. John 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light came into the world, and men and women did not love light. Did not naturally love light. They loved darkness, and it's because their deeds were evil. And had their deeds been good, had they been good and their deeds been good, they would have come to the light. But the Lord said in John 5, you will not come. You will not come. And the reason that you and I both will not naturally come, cannot come, will not come, is because mankind in his flesh or her flesh is nothing but darkness. This is what we are by nature. Darkness. The darkness of sin. That's all that man is. It's all that man loves. It's all that man wants. Of man's own will. Man talks about his free will. Of the darkness of man's own will, he rejected the light of life. That's what man did. And he chose the darkness of eternal death and damnation. Look with me at John chapter 1. John 1, verse 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 8 says, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, would not receive him. The darkness of man rejected the light of God. That's the truth about man. Here's the truth about God. But God. But God. This is the moment where frowns go to smiles. But God. Thank God, and just think about this, okay? Just think about your own experience with this. You can test this out today if you want to. Thank God, light always overrules darkness. Always. Always. If you're in darkness, go into a room in your house that has no windows, and it's dark, and turn on the light. See which one reigns. Light always overrules darkness. Darkness. It will overrule darkness every time. And that's what God did for His people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Christ come? If man could save himself, if man could come to the light, then why would Christ come? If salvation comes by the works of man, then Christ died in vain. Why did Christ come? It's because man was in darkness and couldn't come out of that darkness. But thank God, light came and overruled. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of this world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That means no matter what our dark, rebellious will is, we're going to be overruled by that light. We're going to be conquered by that light. Luke chapter 1 says, the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them which sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That means God came into this world. God was manifest in the flesh to overrule the darkness of His people. And He did that by giving His own light to them. What a message this is. This is the message. What a glorious message. God came into this world to overrule the darkness of His people by giving His own light to them. How did He do that? If He's holy and just and man is dark and wicked, how did God give His light to them and justify them in His eyes? This is amazing. This is amazing. If you don't know the answer to this, you'll be amazed. And if you do know the answer to this, you'll be amazed. This is amazing. I just adore this. This is the glory of the gospel. You don't see the beauty and the glory of the gospel until you see the darkness and the blackness of sin. But this is it right here. Turn with me, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah penned this, but these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, Lamentations 3, verse 19 says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." These are the words of our Savior from the cross of Calvary. All right? This is his cry from the cross of Calvary. These are the words of the light of the world himself, who came to accomplish a deliverance from darkness for his people. This right here is how he did it. Look at verse 1. Christ said, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." He's saying the Father drew his rod on me. How? Why? How? Look at verse 2. "He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." He put me there. "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, a mockery, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul afar off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Our Savior, Jesus Christ, entered into our darkness so that we might enter in to his light. That's how he did it. Light himself was made to be darkness, who knew no darkness, that we might be made to be the very light of God in him. That's how salvation came to God's people. And that's the message. The light of God's justice and wrath judged the darkness of us in Christ, and demanded the payment of blood and death from us in Christ. And with that just payment being satisfied in him, God is satisfied with us in him. For all of God's redeemed from darkness people, Christ is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Christ is the light that lightens the Gentiles, and he's the glory of all of God's people. That's what Simeon said. I've seen salvation. I've seen the light. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Peter said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that light is Christ. In glory, there's not going to be any sun there. You know why? The Lamb is the light thereof. That light is Christ. That light's Christ. Okay, I'm done. Two scriptures. Let me show you two scriptures and I'll be done. Turn with me to Genesis 1. realizing that Christ is the light of God, the light that came into the world, realizing that He is the light. Let's just read Genesis 1 this way, okay? Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be Christ. And there was Christ." A body was prepared for the redemption of God's people from all of their darkness. Verse 3, "God said, let there be Christ, and there was Christ. And God saw Christ, that He was good. And God divided Christ from that darkness. He divided Christ from that sin. He was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. But we were joined together with Him from our darkness, according to the will of God." Verse 5 says, "God called the light day, Christ day, and He called the darkness night. And joined together the evening and the morning were the first day." Joined together, everything's just called day. That day overrules the night. And in Him, everything is day, first day. Christ is God's light. He always has been and He always will be. So, all right, go back to the text. We'll read this and close. Let's read this one more time and see if we can enter into this. First John 1 verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is Christ. And in Christ is no darkness at all. Whoever's in Him is sinless. Whoever is born into Him sinneth not." No darkness at all. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." What is walking in darkness? It's walking anywhere outside of Christ. In Christ is light, out of Christ is darkness. Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk through this world outside of Christ, in ourselves, in our own works, not His, we lie and do not the truth." Verse 7, "But if we walk in Christ as God is in Christ, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins." The substitution, the separation, the darkness He entered into for us to deliver us, that cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for Christ the light. Thank God. "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Thank God. Can we say with David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation"? I pray so.